Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Society is made up of families. Family is the building block of society. And the state of society, the state of a community, reflects the state of the family. If the community, if society is healthy, that shows the family or families are healthy. If society is sick, it's a reflection of the state of the family. That's why family is so close to us, very important to us here at Watoto, because we are a family, all right? We are a family that we belong to. And I know we say, I'm going to church today, but actually we come, when we gather together like this, we gather as the family of God in Watoto family to celebrate Jesus. So family is very, very important to us because family is the building block of society. It is. You remove the family, there'll be no society. As a matter of fact, the church did not come before the family. It was the family that God established first. Remember the first family. Adam and Eve and their children. That was the first family. Because God knew through that one family, oh, there would be billions and billions of people on earth. Now, this month, because family is so important to us, we are focusing on the family. Hey, we want to talk about the family. And we started last week when we had our guests, Bob and Audrey Meisner here. I hope you are blessed through their teachings. We started talking about the family. And today we want to start teachings on practices of blessed families. I don't know about you. I want my family to be blessed. Maybe you don't want your family to be blessed. If you don't want your family to be blessed, may I ask you then to leave this service? No, I don't want to. I think that sounds rude. Okay, please don't leave the service. But what I mean is that there's nobody who doesn't want their family to be blessed. There's no one who does not want their family to be prosperous, to be strong. I'm telling you, even if you came from a weak family, a disunited family, a dysfunctional family, hey, you can purpose to have a healthy family. You can purpose to have a good family, all right? Are we committed to having good families? Come on, if you're committed to having good families, then say yes. All right. Now, without God, we cannot have strong families. We cannot have healthy families because God is the ultimate builder of the family. This is what Psalm 127, verse 1 to 2 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." You toil in vain. "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Bob and Audrey told us last week that as a couple, there's the third factor in your marriage. And who is the third factor? It is God. And when you have children, maybe you have two children, then you're not just four people, you are five people, five persons, because God is involved. Let me tell you, unless the Lord builds the house, those who try to build it will work hard in vain. We need God in our families. We need God to be involved in building our families. In fact, He must be the center of our families. And Psalm 119, verse 1 in the Message says, "You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him." That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road He sets. My friend, when we have God, when God is involved in the affairs of our families will be blessed. Now, when we talk about blessed families, I'm not just talking about rich, materially rich, materially wealthy families. Now, that's part of the blessings of God. But I tell you what, the blessings of God are much more than material possessions. Hey, the blessing of favor, the blessing of unity, come on, the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, because I tell you what, if the family is disunited, that is like hell. Their experience is like hell. I'm telling you, you'd rather have unity, you'd rather have peace, you'd rather have joy, you'd rather have love in your family than even money. All right? And those things can never be bought with money. Let me tell you, that those things are a gift from God. Peace in the family is a gift from God. Joy in the family is a gift from God. Unity in the family is a gift from God. Let me tell you, reconciliation is a gift from God. That's why we need God in our families. Now, when we talk about practices of blessed families, who do we turn to learn those practices? We turn to who? God, the architect. That's a good word, the architect, the mastermind. The brain behind the family. We turn to him because God is the manufacturer of the family. So for a long time, Michael, you know it. For a long time, we drove a RAV4. It was a good car, but it was a 1999 model. So it hit its lifespan. And it began giving us headache. It was, I tell you, it forced us to dig deep into our pockets every now and then. We said, let's sell it off. And we sold it off. I'm not going to tell you how much it fetched. Yes, because some of you might come asking. Okay. But anyway, we sold it off and then we bought a different car. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it's much better than the RAV4. I tell you what, there is a manual with which we bought that car. It came. That car came with a manual. And that manual tells us, you know, everything about that car and how to make the most of it. Let me tell you, our God is the maker of the family, and he tells us how we can make the most. Yes, how we can enjoy it. Hey, listen to me. We are not meant to endure marriage. We're not meant to endure family life. We are meant to enjoy family life. The person who destroys families is the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people, and he's called Satan. He's the one. But I tell you, God's intention for you is to give you a blessed family. Come on now. That's God's intention for you. That's why you don't say, I married a wrong man. I married a wrong woman. Oh, no, 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 no. Let me tell you, God, even if there are issues with that woman, with that man, God is able to change them. God is able to transform them. I'm speaking to somebody here. Even if your marriage is broken, our God is able to heal that broken marriage. Yes, even if your family is dysfunctional, there's a God who will cause it to function the way it ought to be. We turn to him. So I better move on now. So the practices of blessed families, we're going to talk about purity. We'll be talking about purity. We'll be talking about affection. Ooh, because our God is a God of affection, not so. We'll be talking about forgiveness because our God is a forgiving God. But today, we want to start our teachings on practices of blessed families by talking about devotion to God. That is one of the practices of blessed families. Brian, I love this because we could have started with affection, but we decided let's start with the devotion to who? Because it is this, what do we call this relation? This is the vertical? Yeah, it starts with the vertical relationship, and then the vertical affects the horizontal. I'm remembering mathematics now, okay? Yes, I tell you, yes. When we start with God, then everything will fall in its right place. All right, so devotion to God. Now, what is devotion to God? It's simply this. It is that wholehearted commitment to God. It is that passionate love for God. It is wholehearted faithfulness to God. Let me tell you, it is wholehearted loyalty to God. It is your wholehearted allegiance to God. Hey, I know we come from different tribes, and it's good to identify with the tribe, you come from, with the community you come from. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. But I tell you what, our allegiance to God must come first. Our loyalty to God must come first. Our commitment to God must come first. You know what I'm talking about? As a child of God, as a Christian. So devotion is our wholehearted, not half-hearted, commitment, faithfulness, love for God, loyalty to God. And if you read the Bible, I mean, you will come across examples of people who are devoted to God, wholehearted, sold out. That's actually the millennial word, millennial language. You know, so sold out, wholly sold out, wholeheartedly sold out for God or to God. So how do we practice our devotion to God as a family? Remember, it's a practice. It's not just something you believe. It's not just something you say yes to. Okay, yeah, it makes sense. Yes, we need to be devoted to God. You must practice it. By the way, I've realized that when you practice something, it becomes a part of you. The more you practice something, the more it becomes a part of you. So there are these practices we will be talking about starting today that we ought to make a part of our families. They ought to become a way of life in our families. How do we express our devotion to God? How do we practice it? So there's a family in the Bible that exhibits devotion to God. One example. There are many examples, but we want to just look at one example. In Acts chapter 10, from verse 1 to 8, and I'll read in the Lexham English Bible. I tell you, there are many translations today. All right, Lexham English Bible. Now, there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. He was the commander of 100 soldiers in the Roman army, devout and fearing God, together with his household. The NIV puts it this way: he and his family were devoted to God, doing many charitable deeds for the people and praying to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him and became terrified and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers," listen to me, "your prayers and your charitable deeds, your giving to the poor, have gone up for a memorial offering before God. And now send men to Joppa and summon a certain Simon, who is also called Peter. This man is staying as a guest with a certain Simon." The Simons were together. A tanner was was a man who converted animal skins into leather, whose house is by the sea. He was on a prime land by the sea. Think about living by Lake Victoria. By the way, one day, that's my dream. One day I will build a house. Yes. Yes, one day I will live by the lake. And when the angel who spoke to him departed, he summoned two of his household slaves and a devout soldier. There was another soldier who was devoted to him. Wow. From those who attended him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. There's just something that has come to my mind right now. This is he sent a devout soldier. I think the devotion of this man to God became contagious in his family. And so it was instilled even in his soldier. I think. Okay, the Bible doesn't say it, but I think. So, Cornelius and his family were devoted to God. They were wholeheartedly committed to God. They were sold out to God. You know, when you're sold out to God, it means you now belong to God. I love that. You become God's possession. It's like you, Michael, selling me your shoes. If you sell out those nice shoes you have to me, they will become my possession. They'll cease to be your possession. Hey, when we are devoted to God, we are completely sold out to God. And that means God becomes number one in our lives and as families. God becomes number one in our families. So, how did he and his family express their devotion to God? And that's what we're learning. How do we express our devotion to God? Cornelius expressed his devotion to God by obeying the word of God. And that's what God wants us to do, to express, to practice our devotion to him by obeying the word of God. How do we know? Remember, when the angel who spoke to him departed, he summoned two of the household slaves and a devout soldier from those who attended him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The angel told him, and actually this was God who appeared to the man. The angel told him, you know what? You send someone to fetch, to bring Simon Peter here. And I tell you, he immediately responded by sending his servants and his soldier to bring Simon Peter to his household. When it comes to what God tells us, our devotion to him is exhibited when we say, yes, Lord. When we obey what God says to us. So if God says to us, no divorce, then there should not be divorce, isn't it? If God says to us, do not be violent against your wife or against your spouse, we should not be violent men. We shouldn't be violent spouses. If God says, forgive your husband, forgive your wife, forgive your children, or forgive your parents, we need to obey God because that expresses our devotion to who? To God. If God says, hey, I want you to love each other unconditionally. Don't love each other with strings attached. That is the word we ought to obey. Cornelius obeyed the word of God. And he sent his servants and his soldier to fetch Simon Peter, to bring him. He sent them to Joppa, where he was staying at the house of another Simon the Tanner. You see, in John chapter 14, verse 15, 21 and 23, Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my command. Let me tell you, we can't say we love God unless we obey the commands of God. Very simple. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I love that. Woo. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Did you know that actually God appeared to Cornelius? He appeared to him. He revealed himself to him. And Jesus went on to say, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We'll take up our place in their home. May I say something? An example of our devotion to God, as an expression of our devotion to God, when we obey God, God will come into our families, and God will come into our lives. So, when we talk about obeying the word of God, that then means We ought to know the word of God, isn't it? We ought to be aware of what God says. And how do we know God's word? It's by reading God's word. Hey, I want to challenge you. I'm also challenging myself. Can we be families who are known for reading God's word regularly? Hey, come together regularly to hear from God through his word at home. Read the Bible with each other and to each other. Read the Bible, parents who are here. Read the Bible to your children. It's very, because that is how we take in the Bible. But also, we hear God's word when we come to church. Like right now, you're hearing God's word. When you come to church like this, hey, you're hearing God's word. I want to encourage families. Hey, don't stay away from church. Come to church to hear God's word. Come to church to be discipled through God's word. Come to church to be encouraged through God's word, to be inspired by God's word. Husbands, I'm glad. I thank God for husbands and fathers who are here this morning. Because there are some husbands and fathers who all they do on Sunday morning is to drop off their families. And they drive away. They drive away to hang out with their friends, to play golf somewhere, or to do whatever they want to do. Thank you for coming to church today. If you came as a family, I want to say thank you to you. You know, talking about obeying God's word, James, the writer of the letter of James, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, God's word sets us free, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We're talking about practices of blessed families. When we practice our devotion to God by reading and obeying God's word, we will be blessed families. Secondly, how do we practice our devotion to God? Hey, by praying and fasting. This man was known for prayer. He and his household were known for prayer. In fact, at the time the angel came, it was the ninth hour. It was at 3 p.m. Would that be 3 p.m.? Ninth hour? 3 p.m. That's when the angel appeared to the man. That's when the Lord came to him. May I say something to you? God will show up when we call on his name. God will appear to us. God will listen to us. God will answer us. Come on. God will get involved in the affairs of our families if we call on his name regularly. Not just praying as a one-off. You know, there are people who are good at praying when they're here in church. That's when they start now. It's just shandering. Only here. But when they're at home, no. They wish each other good night, good night, good night. And then when they wake up in the morning, good morning, good morning. Have a good day. They don't pray together. Let me tell you, there's a saying that families that pray together stay together. It's very true. You know why? Because when we pray, we connect with God. When we pray, you know what we're telling God? We're telling God we need you. We depend on you. We rely on you. You know what? We don't pray to God for only miracles that we need, for only breakthroughs we need. We pray to God because it's an expression of our love to God. It's an expression of our devotion to God. You know, when we pray, we are telling God, you are the most important person to us. You're the most important person in this family. You are our security. You are our hope. You are our defender. You are our joy. You are our unity. You know what I could go on and on and on and on. And so we need to be praying families. All right? Instead of complaining, can we be praying families? Let's pray. And we added fasting there because there are people who they embrace the idea of prayer. But when it comes to fasting, oh man, they say, no, that's a hard one. This week, we had a prayer retreat with our Watoto 360 young people. Young people who were in our discipleship program, a 6-month discipleship program. And it was a prayer and fasting retreat. When I told them, I was the one actually who told them, say, well, we will be praying for 4 days, praying and fasting for 4 days. A majority of the kids say, no, oh no, oh no. But then I encourage them as their papa, all right? And they listen to me. And I tell you, it was so meaningful. You know what happened at the retreat? This one of the internationals, she's an American. She had never had God speak to her. I mean, apart from, you know, the word, through the word of God. But hearing God speak to her, what we call the Rhema word, she had never had. But as we were praying on Friday, she was hearing the voice of her friend, another American girl, speaking to her about something she needed to do. So she opened her eyes thinking it was her friend. Her name is Shannon. Shannon, what are you telling me? You're speaking to me now. Shannon was also praying. In fact, Shannon was distant from her. It was God. The girl wrote down what God spoke to her. Let me tell you, why am I sharing that with you? When we pray, we hear from God. So let's be praying families. Let's connect with God through prayer. What issues are you struggling with as a family? What challenges are you facing as a family? What are those mountains that you see before you as a family? What are those obstacles you see as a family? Is your family under attack right now? Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we call on God, He will answer us. He makes a way for us. He opens doors to us. I tell you what, we are not alone. We have God with us. What we need to do is to invite God, is to say, God, take charge of every affair of our family. And what we do that by praying. We read and obey God's word, but by praying as well. And fasting really means we humble ourselves before God. You know, you can fast anything you think is you need to fast to do without, but food is the issue, because I tell you, you know, when it comes to meat, comes to pork, comes to steak, comes to, you know, those your favorite meats, it's a struggle to do without them. But when you do without your pork, when you do without that steak that you love, you know what I'm talking about? When you do without chicken. For a day, for two, whatever, you can fast a day, fast 2 days, whatever. When you do without, what are you saying? You're saying, God, you're more important than chicken. You're more important than a pig, than pork. You're more important than a goat. You're more important than a cow. You know what I'm talking about? You're more important than whatever it is, okay? We can do without coffee. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, we can do without our tea. All right, and focus our attention on who? On God. And when you fast, you need to know that's a form of prayer. You ought to be praying. Don't fast and you don't pray. Otherwise, you'll be on a hunger strike. Lastly, practices of blessed families. So obedience to God is one way we express our devotion to God. Praying together is another way we express our devotion to God. The last one is generosity. Who? You know, this man was known for his generosity. He gave to the poor, and God took note of it. God took note of his prayers, and God took note of his giving. He and his family. He was not giving alone. He was giving with the family. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given. You know, if your wife is not supportive of you giving, I tell you, it becomes a hindrance. Not so. Yes, if your spouse is not behind it. So he and his family gave generously to the poor. Your prayers and your charitable deeds have gone up for a memorial offering before God. They have become a memorial offering. You know, when something becomes a memorial offering, it means God remembers it. You know, something that is a memorial is something that is there, and you know, you keep looking at it. It reminds you of something you have accomplished, something you have done. You know, it becomes your legacy. Oh, may I say this morning that, hey, families, hey, friends, may our families, the legacy of our families, you know, be that of generosity, blessing other people, giving generously. You know, when you giving generously means you go over and above. You know what I mean? And giving generously means you don't give out of obligation. You don't give as a duty. You don't give because, you know, this pastor say I must give. And how do we express our generosity to God? I mean, the beginning point is returning the Lord's tithe. All right? Returning the Lord's tithe, because we know God owns everything. And God is just asking us to give 10%. My wife and I have decided a long time ago. In fact, I started it before I got married. Then when my wife, you know, when I married my Shirley, you know, it became our way of life. Yes, she's my Shirley, and I am her Calvin. Did you know that? Yes. So it's our way of life. By the way, we don't even see. We don't. So it is what standing order. We gave our accounts here a standing order. I say, every month, take off our tithe. I'm telling you, I'm glad we do that, and we don't regret. There's no pain. I'm telling you, we don't struggle. Come on. You know, our God is a generous God. And when we practice generosity, we're reflecting the character of our Father. We're reflecting the character of the God who is the Lord, who is the head of our families. And by the way, children learn from their parents to be generous. Not so. That means children can also learn to be stingy. Do we call it mukonogamu or whatever? Yes, they learn to be mukonogamu from their children. Hey, return the Lord's tithe. Hey, bring an offering, a thanksgiving offering. Bring an offering to build God's house. After all, God gives us everything. And by the way, when you give to the Lord, hey, wait. Wait for the outpouring of his blessings. Give to the poor. Again, just not to brag about ourselves, but when we got married, we made up our minds to support four children now. Four Watoto children. So monthly, you know, part of our salary goes into supporting those children. And what a joy to make a difference in the lives of those children through our giving. Give to the poor. Give to someone, you know, who you see has a need. And by the way, it goes beyond just money. You know, you can give somebody who walks out of here a lift. That's generosity, not so? They're walking and it's raining. It may not even be raining. Blessings. Open your house to host a cell. That is expression of generosity. God blessed you with that house. You open it to us, to God's people. When God's people call on the name of the Lord in your house, you'll receive blessings. I can go and on and on and on, but I think they have driven the point home. Practices of blessed families. Do you want your family to be blessed? Do you want God to bless your family? Then you need to be devoted to God as a family. Hey, instill in your children devotion to God. Love, that first love for God. And how we practice our devotion to God is by obeying God's word that we hear, God's word that we read. And we practice our devotion to God by praying with him, connecting with him, and sometimes fasting, doing with all the things that, you know, we think are more important, yet God is more important to us. And then, of course, by being generous. May I read this proverb, and the worship team can come back. I read this proverb. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, 25 says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." So everybody bow your head. We're talking about God.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.